Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
What a weekend. What a weekend, Anna Kakarakis. How are you doing this morning?
I am definitely almost done with my first cup of coffee. Going to be getting a second one pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I'm going about 2 hours of sleep right now, but I'm ready to get rolling.
I already had two.
Woo!
Yeah, we're up here at 5 a.m., two cups of coffee. One of them filled it with ice, waited till the ice melted so it was cold, and then I could chug it. Then I just got another one, and then naturally I drank that like a normal person.
Nice. We got the high ups, and then we're going to crash later, but at least it's the ups during the show, the pregame show. Busy weekend. We got lots going on in sports. Also, Game of Thrones last night. Oh, that premiere was amazing.
Well, we do have an hour, so we're not exactly going to fall down in this hour. We are going to be constantly going up like the beginning of a roller coaster.
I like that.
So the Warriors, well, they got a win. A good one.
Yes.
An incredibly good one. But first off, I really want to know. We're going to get into that. I want to get into some comments that Doc Rivers made about one Steph Curry. We'll get into that around 5:15. We'll obviously talk about the ejection by KD with Patrick Beverley. But how'd your stint on NBC Sports go? I didn't talk to you about this at all outside because I didn't want to. But we saw you on I wanted to hear it on the air. And I wanted to get your reaction right now because I saw you on TV. Looked great. Looked professional.
Thank you.
Looked like it was in your first. You already looked like you've been there for a month.
I appreciate that. I appreciate
that. How was it?
It was great. So the first night I get out there, you know, sitting there kind of figuring out, all right, what am I going to do tonight? I was on KNTV, NBC, doing the weekend sports for them. But as soon as I get in, they're like, all right, first thing we're going to do, we're going to have you do live highlights. Mind you, I have not done highlights in about 10 years. I've done updates. I'm like, okay, I'll do some SNC updates. No problem. That's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we're going to have you go live to do update or to do highlights. Like, all right, let's do this. So just going over my highlights. First one, I will say I did get those butterflies in my stomach. Have not done live TV for just a few years now. Probably about 3 years was the last time I did live TV.
Really?
Yeah, because I've done, you know, obviously some magazine shows. I've done live TV a bunch in the past, but it's been a few years.
Sideline reporting,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah, sideline reporting. Also, you know, reporting on doing a magazine sports show that I did way back in the day called High School Sports Focus, if you used to watch it.
Oh, there
we go.
It was a
good time there. But yeah, so it was fun to do highlights again, and it was fun. It was a good experience. Met a lot of great people at NBC Sports Bay Area.
You put a little Chris Berman in there? Anna Berman?
Back. No, I did not. I did a little Giovanni Gone with a Matt Chapman home run. Oh, that was fun.
Wow. Yeah. So you were good. You were good. The nerves weren't overtaking you. They weren't overtaking your entire soul at first?
No, it was that happy nerves. Like when you if anybody ever did theater or anything, that first time you go on stage right before a show, you get those good nerves, and I think that's just natural. I think that's just fun. You know, I don't always get it in the, you know, when I'm right on the air here. It's fun to be here, but it's almost become so second nature to all of us that you don't feel it as much. But the first time you do it, it's like, oh my God. I remember my first day on radio too, and I was just freaking out. Not freaking out, but more, I was really nervous that day, the happy nervous, but.
Well, you looked like a pro. Didn't look like anything fazed you.
Thank you.
So, good job. When's the next time we'll be able to see you?
This next weekend, I'm going to be doing Sports and Central updates and also some more hits on KNTV. So that'll be on Saturday and Sunday.
There you go. Anna, the official update person of NBC Sports and NBC
Sports. Well, I like it. I like the official one, even though there's a bunch of other
official
people, too.
Update person. Official update person. You
okay.
Like that?
I like that.
All right. So the Warriors, they got the 121-104 win over the Clippers in Game 1. Just real quick, initial reaction to the game. What'd you think? I mean, were you happy with the way the Warriors played? Were you, I mean, the Clippers kind of, you know, they kept it close within the second quarter. Were you kind of worried at that point? What were you thinking?
Wasn't ever really worried. The only thing was, as much as the Warriors ended up overwhelming the Clippers, the biggest issue for me was seeing that as well as this team works well together, the issues for me were the turnovers and the little mistakes. And I know Steve Kerr had talked about it, but to me that's the biggest issue, that they need to clean up the games. And I know it's the first game out, but there's a few little problems they need to get fixed, and I don't think that the Warriors will have a major issue. And here's the thing. They dominated the Clippers with those, excuse me, with those turnovers. So if this team is on, there's no stopping them.
Sometimes with this squad, with the way they run the offense, there's bound to be turnovers created because of how quick they move. And when they go up and down the court in transition, sometimes they make errant passes.
Yeah.
You saw a couple of them. The Warriors ended up losing that turnover battle 21-17. And so Clippers still got 17, which is a ton. And you talked about Steve Kerr. Talking about the turnovers, well, here he was after the game.
I think all in all, we played really hard, which was great. We didn't play that well or that smart. And this is a way, we've got to think about is, you know, are we going to let down because we won a game? No, we got to keep playing hard, and we got to play smarter than we did tonight. So good start, but a long way to go.
Turnovers. That's kind of been the Achilles heel, you could say, for this Steve Kerr era Warriors. I think that's been the biggest complaint is after every loss, it's always like, all right, we got to fix the turnovers. But Saturday, it didn't really matter because the Clippers, their starters couldn't get anything going. Ivica Zubats was 0-2 with 0 points. Like, if you're Zubats, right? They traded for you, and somehow you make the playoffs. I don't care how young you are. You got to go out there and perform, especially against a guy like DeMarcus Cousins. And the only one who was performing against DeMarcus Cousins was Montrezl Harrell. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Oh, my gosh, Montrezl Harrell. Yeah, seriously. And what happened also with the bench? I mean, all season long, this Clippers bench has always been one of the strongest. That's been their strong point, honestly, all season long. But yeah, like you said, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams out there, they were performing for the Clippers.
It's weird. Harrell with 26 points, Lou Williams with 25. They were literally doing what they wanted in the paint. But on the other side of the court, there was Kevin Durant and Patrick Beverley. And quite frankly, to me, Patrick Beverley went out there and he did his job. He got two technicals for Kevin Durant, got the guy suspended. And I'm not even like thinking about this series with the Warriors, because this game one, it kind of has me thinking, all right, there's not really going to be a way this Clippers team can beat this Warriors team in a seven-game series.
No way.
I just don't feel like it can happen. I know how arrogant it sounds. I know how cocky it sounds. But watching that game one, I don't think the Clippers can even beat the Warriors. So I'm more worried about Kevin Durant's future in these playoffs, because he's already got two technicals on him, and you only need, what, seven?
Seven, yeah.
So, and then what? One after that, after the seventh is always like another suspension or something like that? I got to look up more of the rules, but Patrick Beverley went out there and he did his job.
How interesting was it to me? I didn't look at how much time exactly Patrick Beverley was on Durant, but I thought it was interesting that he spent a lot of time with Durant. That was a big mismatch. And I was expecting more of him most of the night covering Steph Curry.
I think we all did.
Being a nuisance. So the fact that he went with Kevin Durant, that was an interesting decision by the Clippers. Obviously didn't work in their favor as well, but that pesky guard, man, I don't know. That was an interesting decision to me.
It was totally calculated. They put him on KD right at the beginning. You're right, on purpose. And you had Gilgeous Alexander covering Steph Curry. Steph Curry ended up finishing the night with 38 points. So that
he was on fire.
So that didn't work. We'll get into that a little bit. But here's Kevin Durant talking about Patrick Beverley. He had some interesting comments, actually.
Well, I've been playing against Pat Bev since he was at Arkansas, so I kind of know what he brings. He's a Chicago kid. I grew up and raised in the Chicago area, so those dudes play with a different type of grit, you know, so I can appreciate that about Pat. And you know what you're going to bring to the table, you know, just the physicality, the, you know, mucking up the game a little bit with his physicality, his talking, his everything. That's what he brings to each team he plays on. So that's his identity, and they support him with the Clippers. So for me, I know that coming into the series. So I thought it was fun tonight.
He thought it was fun. I mean, when you're looking at it from the outside in, you're kind of thinking, wow, this is actually, I mean, Patrick Beverley's literally there just to annoy him, but you could tell KD, he was kind of going back at him, going back and forth, and he was laughing the entire time, and it was competitive between the two, but it's interesting how he really didn't have any complaints about how he played. He kind of knew that this is what Patrick Beverley was going to do, and KD knew that he fell into his trap.
Yeah, he kind of lost his composure for a moment there, and on what's going to be hard is now that KD seems to have more of a target on his back when it comes to the fact that he already has two techs. And like you said, there are seven in order to get suspended right now. So he does have a target on his back. I do think, though, that KD will be a little more cautious going forward, though.
He should be, as well as Steph should be going next, because I don't know if they're just going to keep Beverley on Durant, but it's going to be interesting to see where they put him to start out the game. Here's Steve Kerr talking about the ejection.
Yeah, we took the bait. He took the bait, and that's two technicals. You get seven technicals. Your seventh one is a suspension in the playoffs. You know, whether you play four playoff games or 24, seven is the magic number. So he's got four to play with after one game. But that's what Beverley does. We talked about it the last couple of days. He's a hell of a defender. He plays hard. You got a lot of respect for him. But you cannot take the bait because, you know, that's a bad trade for us. Clippers have made a lot of good trades this year, and that was maybe their best.
You think that was their best one?
Might have been actually one of them. Yeah, Zubac was another one. That was an interesting one, too. That's been a good one. Even though he didn't perform well on game one, you know, he's been good for the Clippers.
He got in foul trouble early, and they saw what Montrezl Harrell was doing. He was just dominating inside the paint. So I don't know if it's by the looks of it, it probably is their best trade because he clearly was the one who gave the Warriors the most fits, even though he didn't score the most points. That's what's funny about Harrell and Williams' performance. They didn't care that they were scoring 25, 26 points each game. They let them do that. You can go ahead and you could shoot from mid-range. You could go and you can just take it in the paint, whatever you want to do. We are going to knock down threes from the outside, get one more point better than those 2 points that you're scoring, and we're going to up the value of our chances to win. So they didn't even care. And these starters, they didn't perform at all.
No, not at all. And that... I understand that they have done so well coming off the bench and the idea of maybe they should be a part of the starting lineup because they do so well. But then is there something about certain players that perform better on the bench versus being a starter? What is that, a mental issue? Is that something mentally? Is that something physically? What is it that makes somebody actually perform better on the bench versus when they actually start in the starting lineup?
I mean, it's got to be matchups, I guess, maybe. Is the one thing you could put on it. And also, you just got to sit back and think Lou Williams is – just genuinely a great player. He's always been that kind of sixth man throughout his career, no matter where he's been. He's kind of been like a Jamal Crawford type in a sense, in that he's a little older, but he's also been just a veteran who knows how to score. And the Warriors actually played really good defense in the first half. That's what kind of made me look past Klay's performance. He only had 12 points on 5 of 14 shooting, but defensively, he was showing why he should be voted to that all NBA team. But next, Anna, after this break, I want to get into Steph Curry. Is the man underrated? Now, there's a reason why I'm asking that question, and we'll explain why next. Steven and Anna on 95.7 The Game.
Going to the Warriors game tonight?
Hell yeah!
Want a free Dubs hat?
Yeah!
Just download the Realtor.com mobile app and stop by the 95.7 The Game booth outside in the plaza. The first 100 people to show us they have the Realtor.com app will get a special Warriors cap. Realtor.com, the Warriors' home of home search. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadakis.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet, and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Text a chill now by text line at 95795 if you have any thoughts on the Clippers and Warriors. I want to get into some comments about why we asked the question, is Steph Curry underrated? So we'll get into that a little bit. But Anna, we were just talking about it at the break. This weekend was just chock full of sports. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard to get up off the couch. What was your, like, how would you rank what you were trying to view this weekend? Like, what was appointment TV for you going into it? Because you had everything going
on this weekend. Right. You had, you know, you had the Warriors, NBA playoffs in general, tons of games, lots of great matchups, a lot of upsets as well. Mm-hmm. Then you had the Sharks also playing the Golden Knights, unfortunately, with the loss last night. You had baseball. You also had the Warriors on 60 Minutes. I remember seeing a promo, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what? Warriors on 60 Minutes? They had a whole thing about Behind the Dynasty. I haven't seen it yet. I do want to see it, but it's all about, like, building this dynasty and what's been going on in Golden State.
You see the screenshot of Klay from it?
No.
You know, there's times in sports where they literally get, like, your worst look. Like, the millisecond you have, like a terrible look on your face.
Oh,
well,
God, yeah.
There was one that they caught with all the Warriors sitting. You had, I forgot who the front two, or there were, like, two guys sitting in the first row, and then up above it, there were, like, three more. I think Steph, Klay, and I forgot who the other one was. But in the picture, Klay does not look like he wanted to be there. But I think the camera just caught his face, like, last second. You know how the NFL Combine, when they do the 40-yard dashes, they take the faces of everyone,
yes,
and
yes,
they post, like, a montage of the faces. Yeah, I think they just caught Klay in his worst moment, or his worst looking moment from
Klay.
That show.
Poor
but
Klay.
I could also believe, I haven't seen it, but I could also believe that Klay was making this face the entire time that he was there, because he was just looking down, looking a little evil.
He just doesn't want to be there. He just wants to hang out with Rocco, just chill at the house, probably play some Smash Brothers and everything,
right,
just like he did back
Clemonades.
In college, Clemonades, do all that stuff. So
yeah, play with, like, fireworks. He just wanted to do that instead of watch 60 Minutes.
Wouldn't you, though?
Yeah.
I don't know, but 60 Minutes, that's a quality show to be on right there. So the fact that they were on 60 Minutes and just how this team has morphed into not only being so big, you know, obviously in sports, but also to the world, and just the fact that they're on 60 Minutes just kind of means, what does this team mean as a global brand?
Right. And they are a global brand, and mm-hmm. nationally they're getting more and more recognized every year, and you know, the nation comes up with a different narrative for them every single season. We also had the Masters and Game of Thrones, so
yes.
You had those two.
Oh my gosh,
two.
I did not even say those things.
Yeah, so
my
there you
goodness.
Go. We forgot those. But the Sharks
Huge.
And Golden Knights, they were unbelievable games. Yesterday's was rough, but last night's rather. But the one earlier in the weekend, it was, I mean, at the start, the Golden Knights took the lead 3-0. You know, the Sharks just came back, and then it didn't work out for them in the end. It was a hard-fought game.
But. Yeah, you had the controversial call with the goal interference and everything that kind of swung everything into the Golden Knights' favor. So, yeah, it didn't work out there. So they're down 2-1 right now in the series, but hopefully they could turn it around.
And from the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, did y'all watch Tiger Woods this weekend? I was glued to the TV with the Masters. I don't know why when it comes to golf majors. I'm not, like, big on watching the PGA Tour stuff, but when it comes to the majors, like the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, the Players Championship, the Masters is up there for me in terms of watching golf and seeing these guys. I was hoping Tommy Fleetwood would get it
mm-hmm.
done. Because he's a British guy, and we like the English in my household, because that's just naturally what comes. But Brooks Koepka, obviously, continuing to just be in my life, and I'm just jealous of that human.
Yeah.
Because of the way
I
he looks
it.
And the way he plays golf.
Did you, by the way, hear about the gambler who placed an $85,000 bet for Tiger Woods to win the Masters? Obviously, he won $1.2 million payout.
Oof.
Just the idea that you bet $85,000 on Tiger Woods, just putting down an $85,000 bet is just otherworldly to
it's,
me.
It's one thing to say that Tiger's back. It's another thing to say, hey, Tiger's back, I'm going to put $85,000 on it.
Yeah, I had some confidence in him. Woo!
You could say that Tiger Woods, well, he's underrated. And there's one other guy who might be underrated. I don't know. Is he? We'll ask Doc Rivers about it. But this guy could be underrated.
Klay Thompson dribbles the line. Lou Williams throws back to Curry. Curry for a three on the way. Got it! Steph Curry from downtown. Now the all-time NBA playoff leader as he passes Ray Allen. Now 386 made threes, and he's going to rewrite the record book.
So he is now the official leading all-time three-point scorer in the playoffs with 386, passing Ray mm-hmm. Allen for 385. As you could hear in that call, Jim Barnett was excited for Curry, obviously, because he just had to get in on the play-by-play. I mean, I understand that. If something like that's going down and you get excited and you have something to say, you just say it and you don't think about it, especially when you're on the radio.
I mean, I just remember I was sitting there watching the game and then you hear that he was one away from Ray Allen. And he was just... He was amazing that game. He was just red hot. He was shooting 38 points, 15 rebounds. He was flirting with a triple-double. And I was just so...
Led the team in rebounds.
Yeah.
Led him in rebounds.
I mean, when you hear 15 rebounds from Steph Curry, that's the type of game he had. I mean, he just could not stop him. I saw the moment where he kind of tripped Patrick Beverley as well. Where he, that was a good one. Kind of gave him a taste of his own medicine as well there.
And here's Draymond Green talking about Steph Curry.
I think he's attained a lot of three-point records pretty quickly. What is he now, third all-time? Like, you know, guys have played a lot of games, and here he is, third of all-time in the middle of his prime. I'm never surprised when it comes to anything with Steph and shooting the basketball. I think, you know, I don't think there's much argument when anyone says he's the greatest shooter of all time. I don't know if you can find many people to argue that. So, no, it don't shock me. It shocked me that I'm not the all-time leading three-point shooter here. But it don't shock me that Steph is, though. I mean, you know, that's kind of a double negative, but you get where I'm going with it.
Now, real quick, we're going to get to Doc Rivers' comments on it, but I want you to hear Steve Kerr also talking about Steph.
That's remarkable, given that he's kind of, you know, right in his prime. He's got a lot of years left, but Steph's played in a lot of playoff games, and he's come through so often. And I get asked that a lot. Is this the best he's playing? It seems like every year that's the question. You know, is this the best he's playing? Is this the best he's playing? He's been playing his best for about 5 years, as far as I can see.
It's the contacts.
8 for 12 from the three-point line.
That's
better than, like, a total for teams back in the day. Like, when they were... But not even back in the day. Like, back before, like, 2009, before Steph was drafted, they weren't shooting this many threes at this rate. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us, but it always seems to be every time.
It completely is a surprise. It's surreal what he does on the court when he gets out there. And the idea of he passed the splash father, basically, in Ray Allen and what he has done. And he keeps breaking records, keep rewriting the NBA history books. You can't say enough about Steph Curry and what he does. And the fact that you keep saying, oh, he's in his prime. When's the downhill coming? Is he in this prime now? Oh, no, wait, he's in his prime now. Oh, wait, no, he's in his prime now. It just keeps going and he keeps getting better.
Best shooter of all time, in his prime.
Yeah.
All these good things. One of the best in the game that we all think, at least here on the Bay Area. But listen to what Doc Rivers had to say about him.
I was telling my coaching staff, I still think Steph Curry is one of the most underrated players in the NBA. I don't even know how that happens, but he is. He's taken for granted. And all I know is when he's on the floor, he is a handful, and he makes them better in so many ways. He was one of the best rebounders today. You know, he just does everything. He's a great player.
That's respect right there.
He has a point.
Mm-hmm.
Necessarily, I don't think it's underrated. Maybe underappreciated. Maybe taken for granted by other teams. But over here, I think over here, at least on this side of the Bay, we rate him just fine. I think, like, we understand that he's the best that we've ever going to see. Understand that he's the starter of this franchise run, and he's the key to it. He's the catalyst for it. So I don't know if he's necessarily he's not underrated by us here in the Bay Area, but maybe nationally he is.
Well, nationally, think about it. When you look at this team, you see that this team has 5 all-stars in the starting lineup. You have everybody saying, oh, this team is only good because it has all these different parts all together. But then you look at Philly and what happened with the Sixers. You have some great talent there, but they are not a cohesive unit. But a big part of a reason why this team works so well together is the leadership, not only in Steve Kerr, but also in Steph Curry and how he makes this team run. He is the engine to this team.
You know, would you say Steph or Clay is more underrated in your eyes? Because I feel like, you know, we're not... A lot of these voters, they don't put Clay on the all-defensive team. Rachel Nichols came out and someone openly called her out for lying about voting for Clay Thompson on the all-defensive team. There was a couple of videos that came out earlier this year showing her saying that she voted for him, even though the list showed that she did not. So
Rachel.
I think you can make an argument, and it's not her problem. You know, it's not her fault. It happens. But I think you can make a case that Klay is a little more underrated than Steph, but again, Klay hasn't performed in the playoffs like Steph has, consistently at least.
Well, I think you said the right word. Underappreciated is the right word for Steph. Underrated, though, I do agree, that is more Klay Thompson. So, but the underappreciated for Steph is more the key, and I think just because of all the talent that this team has around it, I think that's a factor in why he's underappreciated.
Why do we underrate him, though? That's the question, is why, because you can go back and forth on it, and in the end, he's under something. I don't know whether it's rated, appreciated, or what, but under dash something. He's definitely not, he's not overrated, like I can tell you that much, but what do you think makes him underrated, though? Is it just, like, his size, his look? He doesn't look like a terrifying NBA player like LeBron James is, you know? So he kind of has that look of, you know, he's like a silent killer, pretty much. So I think it's his look more than anything.
Yeah, the babyface assassin. I mean, that's what everybody, he looks like the nice guy. He doesn't look like the guy that's the force that you have to go after, but he's not your prototypical NBA star that we've had in the past. He's done something completely different. He's changed the game. He's quote-unquote ruined the game. And so that's where I think that comes from. But there are a lot of people out there who do appreciate him. Like, Shaq loves him. Shaq says he's probably his favorite player to watch.
I love Shaq.
I love Shaq, too.
Shaq's actually my favorite athlete in terms of what he's done his post-career. And what you say, Steph Curry's ruined the NBA. He's definitely had an effect on Warrior fans. My mom went to Great America this weekend and with my family, and I didn't go. But
you were glued to the TV on the couch.
I was glued to the TV. I couldn't go. I was busy. But she went out to one of those basketball hoops, the long ones that are like 40 feet out.
Mm-hmm.
And she went in there and she tried shooting it, couldn't make it halfway. And she just said, and it's literally, Steph makes it look so easy.
He does.
And so it's so he's making people like my mom think that she could shoot a 40-footer.
Good job for Mama.
Hey, she gave
right?
a shot.
Trying.
She went on the shorter hoop, though, and made the first one.
All
so
right.
I got to give her props to that. But the 40-footer, no. But the one that was like the smaller 20-foot one, she could knock it down.
Well, you see all these kids that are trying to emulate Steph Curry's game. They're trying to do their same thing with Steph Curry. They do the little swaggers, the little shimmy and everything. I mean, my son, I use Steph Curry as inspiration for my kid. When he's down on himself, I say, you know what? Steph Curry wasn't the biggest basketball player. He wasn't the best, but look what he's become now. So he's an inspiration to so many people.
From the 818 and the Chilton Auto Body text line, Chef Curry, not Steph, Chef. Chef Curry should be in the MVP race again this season. Whew, hard to put him over Giannis and Harden. I don't like Harden at all, but according to reports and all these sort of things, like the Basketball Reference NBA MVP award tracker thing, Harden is up there with Giannis to possibly be MVP, but you saw those two.
They got
after it. They're terrifying. The Bucks and Rockets, they're coming.
Giannis was Superman yesterday,
that
too.
That he was.
And there was some, by the way, I guess I did read something I'll tell you a little bit later about, but I guess there's a unorthodox way to guard James Harden that somebody may have figured out.
Ooh, we'll get into that next. Stephen Hanna here on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Going to the Warriors game tonight?
Hell yeah!
Want a free Dubs hat?
Yeah!
Just download the Realtor.com mobile app and stop by the 95.7 The Game booth outside in the plaza. The first 100 people to show us they have the Realtor.com app will get a special Warriors cap. Realtor.com, the Warriors' home of home search. Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game, presented by Golden State Lumber. Here's Stephen Langford and Hannah Kakarakis.
Interesting remix there.
That was my fault. I pressed a button. That was my first one. I've been waiting on that.
It's okay.
So there's a button I can press that affects the commercial break spots, but it's also right next to the on button for the microphone. So I accidentally pressed the other one, and I've been waiting to do that because I knew it was going to happen, and it happened there.
Well, just like the Warriors had some turnover issues in Game 1, they still came back to dominate against the Clippers, and you, Stephen Langford, are going to dominate the rest of the hour.
All right, we're coming back here. All right. It's feeling electric here on the pregame show.
Yes, it is.
By the way, the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for golden mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet and greet with their product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. So, Anna, before we went to break, and I totally botched that going into this segment, what was the tease going in before that?
All right, so James Harden, he was otherworldly again last night against the Jazz.
Hate it.
Yeah, I know. But it looks like the Bucks may have figured something out, and maybe you saw Jay Crowder kind of doing it a little bit last night, trying to defend him last night. It didn't quite work with them. But the Bucks during the season were actually able to slow down Harden. Eric Bledsoe went actually to extremes to kind of drive him right by straddling his left hip. And kind of playing more, instead of playing more in front of him, so he would funnel Harden to elite help defenders. Bledsoe would say that he was actually forcing him off the three-point line and tried not to let Harden do his step-back daddy. So he said it actually worked for them. And I don't know if you saw the video that was coming up on Bleacher Report, I think it was, of Jay Crowder, that was like tiptoeing next to James Harden, kind of trying to force him to go right.
I mean, Patrick Beverley's the reason for that. You saw the video earlier. He was at the last game of the season. He was there post game, giving Jay Crowder tips on how to guard his former teammate in James Harden. And I mean, that's interesting though, because what if Patrick Beverley, you know, gives a little bit of that advice to the Warriors if they go into the next round against the Rockets? Maybe it could help a little bit playing against this guy.
It could help. I mean, he's been doing great, and this team, you know. But it's interesting how the Jazz are one of the best defending teams, and yet they couldn't slow down the Rockets.
Yeah, and that's why that's what makes the Rockets so scary right now. The Bucks are looking terrifying. One who's not looking terrifying, though, is the 76ers.
No.
When Joel Embiid's not 100%, they didn't look like the same team because they weren't getting the same production out of their superstar. He is a superstar. Let's not get that twisted. The dude is the most athletic. Like, this is going to sound bad, but he's the most athletic freak I've ever seen.
Yeah,
the dude.
No, I get what you're saying.
You know, and that's in like the best way possible. So the fact that he wasn't 100, D'Angelo Russell making a name for himself in the playoffs, that's really cool. You think the Nets actually have a chance at sweeping the 76ers? Not sweeping.
I wouldn't say sweep.
Upsetting the 76ers, rather.
It's out there. I don't know. I think that the Sixers will get it together. I mean, you saw, unfortunately, though, the whole video with Amir Johnson with the cell phone issue. Doris Burke was not happy about that.
What did you think of that? Do you think Doris Burke was in the right there, or what was your kind of overall view of that?
I mean, I understand where she's coming from, you know, seeing that it's uncalled for. You're not supposed to have the cell phones there. But at the same time, if it's true that his daughter was sick, she's got to feel bad today. Think about, like, all right, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said anything at the time. But if it's not true and it was just a cover from Joel Embiid, then, yeah. I mean, the fact that they were laughing, though, kind of makes you wonder.
You know, I don't think she should feel bad.
Yeah.
It's her call, and initially she doesn't know.
There's rules.
Yeah, and you know, you have a phone on the court, especially in this social media age where everyone just seems to be on Twitter. You saw there was one that was hilarious that had a picture of both Amir Johnson and Joel Embiid looking at the phone, saying that that's Brian Colangelo's burner account tweeting about how bad they are. But I don't think Doris should feel like she did anything wrong. I had the exact same reaction. At first, I'm like, don't check your phone. What are you doing? You're in a basketball
game. You're losing.
But at the same time, Draymond Green responded saying, you check your phone during work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that got a whole ton of retweets and a lot of likes. And I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I do look at my phone quite a bit during work, but it's also needed.
Now, you don't do it when you're in a meeting, though. So if you're in a meeting, say we're in a meeting with our boss, you're not sitting there looking at your phone, going on Twitter, going and checking text messages. You don't do that. I might have my phone with me, but I won't be sitting there while my boss is talking to me and looking at my phone. So it's kind of the same idea if you think about it.
Yeah, it's a hard, you know, it's what do they call it? A catch-22, I guess. It's like you can look at it and think, yeah, he's obviously in the wrong, but at the same time, I mean, if he's checking on his incredibly sick daughter, then all right, fine, I guess. I don't really know what to make of it going forward. But initially, I had the same reaction as Doris Burke. Don't check your phone when you're sitting there.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. It's not a good look. It's
bad
not
look.
A good look, especially when you get upset in the first game.
It is a bad look. But that was what was happening on the Sixers bench. What'd you think about the bench play from the Warriors against the Clippers? The Clippers, obviously, scoring almost half their points from the bench with Harrell and Lou Williams. What'd you think of the Warriors' performance from the bench?
Well, first off, I want to say shame, shame, shame on us. I wish we had the shame from Damon Bruce that he plays from Game of Thrones. Shout out Game of Thrones starting off episode one.
Shout out.
But Andre Iguodala, how do I not pick him as my bench player MVP, basically? He came out there. He finished with 3 blocks, 2 steals. He had 8 points on the night, but 7 rebounds, 6 assists. No turnovers, by the way. That was big, especially with when they had a turnover issue. He goes out there. He defends. He looks like the Andre Iguodala that he saves himself almost for the playoffs. And then he comes out and he just takes over.
Now, let's reiterate, though.
Okay.
We did say who will be the leading scorer off the bench.
Okay.
Iguodala is not necessarily that guy who's going to score the most points. You could have made the case for Kevon Looney.
True.
Or Quinn Cook or Alphonso McKinney even, but we did leave Iguodala out.
How did I do that?
Regardless,
upset
but
about that.
Seeing him come in, being healthy and just playing lockdown defense and going for a couple of dunks, whew, this team is hard to stop right now.
Yeah,
right now.
It is.
Quinn Cook, a little disappointing. He was only 1 for 4. He was -8 on the night. Sean Livingston, he was -16 on the
right.
floor. What do you make of these plus-minus stats, though? If it's in a blowout, I don't really necessarily understand. I mean, it does kind of say a lot, though, that DeMarcus was -17.
Yeah.
With 9 points. He did not have a good game.
No, but you know, so he scored the first 5 points of the game. I think in the beginning, because this was his first playoff game ever,
mm-hmm.
which still just dumbfounds me because he's such a great player, but he has yet to be in the playoffs. This was his first time in the playoffs. I think he had those jitters, just excited to get out there. He came out shooting. So I can understand where he had his little issues. I think it's going to get turned around in game two. And I think at one point, Andrew Bogut was kind of talking to him how to defend. And that's where you get somebody like Andrew Bogut, where you're happy to have him on this team because he has that veteran presence. He has that, you know, the experience of being part of this team, of being part of a championship team. And I think that's why he was brought in here. And the fact that they get along so well and that they're talking and that they help each other just shows what these strengths are for this team.
Quite frankly, this series, or at least this last game, showed why they did sign Andrew Bogut in the first place and why they were looking at a name such as Robin Lopez in the buyout market, because they need that presence inside.
Yeah.
You didn't really see that. The Clippers were kind of dominating in the paint. I mean, even though they did lose, and it's really nothing to write home about for this series, because the Warriors, I think they got this series on lock. Not really close, but going forward, you're going to need that veteran presence inside and Looney, at least defensively. And Looney doesn't really give them that. He's okay. I mean, he can guard a power forward here and there, but going against a center, or a big guy like Montrezl Harrell, who's just strong, you need that veteran presence in the paint. And that Bogut signing is looking a little more beneficial than we originally expected.
Yeah, I will say, though, Kevon Looney did have a good game. He did really well overall.
He did.
I mean, he really did make a difference when it came to it.
He did. And he's always in the right spot. That's the thing about Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
He knows his role. He goes to the exact locations when they're in transition, quick on the offensive glass. He's a good player, but at the same time, you need that defensive presence inside, especially when you get a guy like Cousins who ends up fouling out toward the end of the game and got into foul trouble. You think they're going to kind of target DeMarcus in this one? They targeted KD. They clearly put Beverly on KD and tried to, you know, rattle him up a little bit. But do you think they're going to do that same thing with DeMarcus Cousins? Is it going to still be KD, or are they going to move on to another player to try and rattle him, try and get Draymond in technical trouble? Try and get Cousins in technical trouble. Someone who makes a difference on this team.
Yeah, they're going to try to go after all of them. I still think it's going to be Kevin Durant. I still think he has a target on his back after the 2 techs. So I think they're going to try to make a statement. Look, if this team knows that they're not going to get past the Warriors in the first round, at least they can make a difference trying to make them have issues down the road. So that's where maybe they're like, you know what, let's try to get to KD, maybe get more techs on him, so that way that they're going to have issues down the road when it comes to future rounds.
But let's go back to Kerr's comments, because with this Patrick Beverly thing, he kind of enjoyed the challenge. Let's take a listen to Steve Kerr.
Yeah, we took the bait. He took the bait, and that's 2 technicals. You get 7 technicals. Your 7th one is a suspension in the playoffs. You know, whether you play 4 playoff games or 24, 7 is the magic number. So he's got 4 to play with. After 1 game, but that's what Beverly That's what Beverly does. We talked about it the last couple of days. He's a hell of a defender. He plays hard. You got a lot of respect for him. But you cannot take the bait because, you know, that's a bad trade for us. Clippers have made a lot of good trades this year, and that was maybe their best.
They knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were going to try and do. And like he said, they took the bait. But Kevin Durant, he looked like he took it as sort of a challenge, like a kind of schoolyard challenge back in the day, because that's where originally KD, that's where his skills stem from. He always talks about that, is from the courts on the streets, playing on the schoolyard and playing that kind of basketball. And it seemed like that's what those two were kind of doing that night.
I thought they were having fun at first. It looked like they were having fun. They were jawing back and forth.
I think they were.
And then it turned a little serious there at the end.
But at the same time, I think they were having fun. Like that type
of
thing.
They smiled.
Yeah, they were smiling and they were talking trash. I think that sort of thing is fun for the players. It's kind of a shame that the refs had to get in the way and it did end up being two technicals. But at the same time, he looked like he was actually having fun playing with joy. As they say, he didn't look like he was playing with anger against Patrick Beverly. He looked like he was playing with joy a little bit, because this little guy who's like 6 inches shorter than I am, he's giving me fits right now, and it's kind of funny.
I mean, what a mismatch in that one there, and I'm still surprised that Patrick Beverly was on KD more of the night instead of Steph Curry. But do you want to see the refs let them play that out more? Do you want to see that more like when you see in hockey? I saw Evander Kane going off last night, just fighting last night. You see that more in hockey. I don't think we go to that extreme, but do you want to see them play it out a little more?
That's what scares the refs, I think. They don't want to see it come into fisticuffs, you know? And I don't think they realize that they were having fun out there, because I think they were. I truly think that them two were just going at it blow for blow, you know, the left hook, right hook, whatever. Patrick Beverly with that hilarious comeback on the flop when KD looked like he was flopping and he just flailed his arms out doing an impression of him, like, you know, and just talking smack. And even when they were going down the court in transition, you could tell when KD was on Patrick Beverly, they were talking back and forth. I don't know if I do. I mean, yes, of course I want the refs to let them play on. But at the same time, at what point does it get serious? I don't think it reached that point yesterday where legitimately you got like ticked off at each other. I don't think it reached that point. I think them two were just playing basketball. But overall, yeah, of course, I'd love to see the refs still let them play it out.
Yeah, I think it'd be – I want a little bit more play. Let them do it a little bit longer, because, again, I'm with you. I saw that and I was just like, wait, what just happened? They got a tech? I thought they were just kind of having fun there, and then – it turned out to be a little more serious than I had thought, but
that ref has got to love making that call, by the way.
Oh, did you see how his arms went out? It was just so serious.
He just puts his arms out and, you know, flexes the wingspan a little bit. Fa! And that's my impression.
What was that again?
Fa!
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be a great ref.
Yeah.
But when I talk about Kevin Durant having fun, listen to the way that he talked about it after the game, though.
Well, I've been playing against Pat Bev since he was at Arkansas, so I kind of know what he brings. He's a Chicago kid. I grew up and raised in the Chicago area, so those dudes play with a different type of grit, you know, so I can appreciate that about Pat. And you know what he's going to bring to the table, you know, just the physicality, the, you know, mucking up the game a little bit with his physicality, his talking, his everything. That's what he brings to each team he plays on, so... that's his identity, and they support him with the Clippers. So, for me, I know that coming into the series. So I thought it was fun tonight.
He thought it was fun. That doesn't sound like a guy who didn't enjoy being ejected from the Saturday night's game, rather.
I could see the Clippers actually going after him tonight, saying something like, oh, are you leaving? Oh, talking about free agencies, trying to bring that all up and everything, and trying to get under his goat that way.
Maybe they already did that.
Maybe.
You know, that's probably...
It happened on their ground. That whole drama between KD and Draymond happened with the Clippers.
Yeah, that's a good point. From the 650 on the Chill Not Everybody text line, Dubs need to clean up the turnovers. Sloppy ball handling, let LA hang around. That they did. It seemed like LA was really frustrated with the lack of, quote-unquote, as I put bunny ears in the air, lack of calls from the refs. I mean, Doc and Co. were screaming at the refs going into the first half. You're not exactly going to win when you're already complaining going into halftime, especially when you just were literally within a shot, a possession of taking over the game, and you let it slip away. That right there kind of marked the end of the series for me.
Yeah.
I was watching that, and I'm sitting there. I was watching it with one Derek Papa, producer of the Papa and Bonte show. And we're sitting there going, wow, this team I mean, they've gotten under their skin. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems like they've already gotten an edge for the series.
Oh, yeah. This team, as much as they had the lazy passes, questionable decisions, and the turnovers were an issue, when this team is on, the Warriors are unstoppable. And despite all the little issues that they had, overall, this team dominated, completely dominated the Clippers. And it's just evident that I don't know if there's any team out there that can stop them.
Now, we're talking about the turnovers here. Here's Steve Kerr after the game talking about them.
I think all in all, we played really hard, which was great. We didn't play that well or that smart. And this is a way, you know, we've got to think about is, you know, are we going to let down because we won a game? No, we got to keep playing hard, and we got to play smarter than we did tonight. So good start, but a long way to go.
This team won 121-104, and he's saying that they played hard, but they didn't play smart, and they got the win by 17 points.
I will say, though, when it comes to the next round, if they play a team like the Rockets, as we saw last night against the Jazz, they cannot make those mistakes again.
From the 650 on the Chill Nobody text line, good morning. I hope KD doesn't continue with the whole street balling Chicago style back and forth with Beverly, because that can be very energy draining, and we need him in the long haul. Does that concern you? Do you think that they could take the energy out of him?
I don't know about the energy, but I'm more worried about the text. That's, to me, more of the text. And then maybe mentally it can be more of a drain, more than physically. I don't think physically it's a drain. I think more mentally that'll be an issue.
Mentally, I think it's more preparation than anything. Patrick Beverley is probably the biggest aggravator in the league and has been, as Warrior fans know, since they played the Rockets in 2016 and him and Curry got into it. It made Patrick Beverley the number one enemy of Warrior fans, kind of. But I don't know if I do think it would be physically exhausting. I do get it that after four games, especially going down to L.A. and maybe traveling in the series after that.
Are we saying that's a drain? Going down to L.A., staying in the West Coast?
I'm saying after that, though. Okay. After that, going into the Houston series.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, because I'm going to say, if they sweep here, if they can manage the sweep and stay in the West, there should not be any issue about being physically tired.
What are you going to look for tonight? What is going to be the one thing you hope that will be different from in today's game? Is it going to be the turnovers as opposed to Saturday night? Is this what you want to see different?
Definitely want to see a cleaner game out there, less mistakes, more of a smarter basketball game when it comes to that. I also want to see Klay Thompson get more shots out there and see him being able to make a offensive. I mean, obviously he's great on defense, but offensively I want to see a little bit more from him.
He did miss a few open jumpers. I want to see tonight, I want to see them just keep on letting Zubats know, hey, you need experience to come play with the big boys here in the playoffs, because Zubats literally destroyed them on Christmas, and it made everyone think that the Lakers and the Warriors were somehow going to meet in the Western Conference Finals. And should we bring Boogie back sooner? Should we buy another center on the buyout market? They need to keep on. He was 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
He was out with foul trouble within the first few minutes of the game. He got two foul called on him, and then he went to the bench right away. That opened the door a little bit for Harrell to come in and just wreck shop, but who cares about that? The Warriors had multiple players scoring in double-digit points. And I mean, if you keep Zubats off the floor, I mean, there's not really going to be any stopping this team to me.
Do you think the Clippers are going to bring Williams or Harrell off the bench and make them starters, or are they going to keep to their same game and have a strong bench?
I mean, they've been doing this from the bench all season. Yeah. I don't see why they change it up. They have certain rotations that they do, certain plays that start.
Didn't work, though.
They did not work. They're trusting Landry Shamet and Gilgeous Alexander to carry the load, even though they're a couple of rookies. I don't think that's going to happen. It kind of makes me think that this Clippers team didn't expect to be in the playoffs this is what's worked for them in the regular season. You can't knock it. Harrell and Lou Williams, they could be contenders for six man of the year, both of them.
Lou Williams won two, right?
Yeah.
I think he's won two six man.
So you can do all you want on the bench, but in the end, it seems like their bench is better than their starters.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch them and see how they do. And you're right. Because don't think anybody expected them to make the playoffs when they traded Tobias Harris. And you're right. Maybe they didn't expect it themselves. But at the end, I think they did, especially because they were following Doc Rivers. They kind of got behind him and everything. And this team actually seemed like a nice little cohesive unit. And
well, that's the reason they're in the playoffs. Yeah. It's because they are cohesive and
great
they play
chemistry.
Right. And you see teams like that. The Kings were like that, even though they just fired their head coach for reasons who knows. Luke Walton heading over there, which is good for him because he's going to be in California, and it's going to be a nice little hopefully the Kings-Warriors rivalry becomes a thing.
It'll be so much fun. And Steve Kerr did call him one of the best people in the NBA, or like one of the best people out there. So he has definitely a lot of support for him. And the fact that he got a job so quickly after getting fired in LA. By the way, do you see that Ty Lue is might be interviewed next week?
What is that?
Sometime this week.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Just because he won a championship with LeBron when he was in Cleveland, he thinks that he's going to bring it back to LA? What, he thinks he's going to... What, does LeBron really want control of this team? I'm starting to think Luke did not back down when LeBron kind of tried to take control. That could be why LeBron was sitting on the bench two seats away while they're in the huddle. But tonight, I mean, are the Warriors just going to be 2-0 after tonight? You think so?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah,
just straight
so.
Up, yeah?
Yep, straight up, yes, I think so. They're going to do it. They got it done tonight.
I do think that the Clippers are... they're going to be better shooting. They missed a lot of open shots. They were defended well, but the Warriors did have a chance to let them back in it, and the Clippers just didn't capitalize. So if the Warriors keep up the turnovers, I wouldn't be shocked if they at least made a couple of more points. But again, I do think the Warriors.
I think because the Rockets actually showed that they dominated last night against Utah, that this team is saying, all right, we got to get this done quickly. We want to get rested. We want to get this done as fast as possible, because looks like the Rockets might do the same thing if they can.
Real quick, Joe Lowe and Dibs are going to be giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's game coming up at 7:30 and 8:30. Two chances to win a pair of tickets. So find out what's coming up with that. Real quick, 30 seconds. Tiger Woods and the Masters. Greatest comeback in sports history?
Yeah, I can't think of one that's better right now.
Second to Michael Jordan, maybe? After he retired only for a year, then came back and won three championships.
But 11 years. I mean, the fact that it was 11 years, you didn't think he was going to come back, and he had all the issues, the mugshot, everything, back surgeries. And to come back, nobody expected it, and he dominated.
5 seconds left in the show. Anna, anything else?
Game of Thrones was amazing.
Game of Thrones was awesome. Joe Lowe and Dibs are next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.